As we begin our teaching, I wanted to share something with you that's probably one of the most precious things I've experienced in a while. We have five grandchildren, and Ellie and I, we love them each the best. It's one of those things. We just do. But about 6 or 7 months ago, I was driving home from church, and I get a phone call from a then 4-year-old, now 5-year-old, Ella Rose Rossica. And she called me up, and you'll have to pardon the inflections because that's what was there. She said, "Papa." "What, Ella?" She said, "You want to hear what I learned at school?" I said, "Sure." She goes to a daycare center, a Christian daycare center. She said, "Wait till you hear this, Papa. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That floored me. I'm driving down 202, and I got tears coming down. I said, "Do you know what that means, Ella?" She said, "That means he really loves me." At which point, I wanted to pull over because they were looking at a 60-plus-year-old man sobbing as he's going down 202. And it wasn't because of the tight traffic. From that resonated so much with me. I just couldn't let it go. So as I was preparing to have this teaching, I'm thinking to myself, you know, there are so many situations in life that we face that are difficult. And so many times, and I have gray hair to attest to it, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do about that? Oh, good, that's good, but how long will that last? You know, and it's a struggle. And I thought to myself, oh, man, how am I going to do this? And that was a big part and is a big part of an issue I deal with, and that's I before him, meaning God. She reminded me of that. It didn't take a teaching. It took a reminder. And I've been reminded continuously. The premise behind this teaching is that God, our Father, sent his son, I ain't giving up none of my kids, to come. And what did he do? He came so that I could have eternal life. With that embedded in my brain and the conflict that I had between that and some of the issues that we all face on a day-to-day basis, I totally ignored the premise that age brings wisdom. I am an absolute proof that it does not. So today we're going to talk about a couple of things that I'm totally familiar with, and that is wisdom, or lack thereof, and trust. We're going to look into the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look how we can apply that premise of wisdom and trust in particular to our lives. So before we go any further, let's just pray. Father, we just ask that you be in this place, that you send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our minds. Lord, let us lead lives that reflect you and your love message, the message of salvation. Lord, bring us closer to you. And all this for your honor and for your glory. Solomon's known for wisdom. We all heard that. A little history on Solomon. His mom's name was Bathsheba. His father's name, David. His father led a God-driven life, a God-reliant life, excuse me. David dies in about the year 1000. I'm all right, thank you. Dies in the year about 1000 B.C., Solomon inherits the kingdom, and the Lord comes to Solomon, and he says, "Saul," I think that's what he said, "Saul," he said, "what do you want? What would you really want?" And Solomon, at age 20, said, "Lord, I want wisdom, and I want a discerning heart." And just as my heart was touched when Ella Rose said what she did to me, God's heart was touched. And I'm looking at this from a parental, grandparental perspective. Solomon pleased his other dad. In fact, his real dad, Father God. And with that, he wrote some 3,000 Proverbs. We're going to cover 684 of them this morning. Nah. So now with this in mind, what we're going to do is I'm going to read, we're going to go to Proverbs 3. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 3. We're going to do a little background with 1 through 4, and then we're going to focus on 5 and 6. Remember the connection. This is parent to child speaking. This is Solomon to his children. This is the Lord God to us. This is his word. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep your commands. Keep my commands in your heart. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." We're going to focus on that just a minute. Solomon, basically, you know how you come up to it? How many people are parents here? Thank you. How many people had parents? No. That's a father-son relationship. That's a mother-daughter. That's a parent-child relationship. And he says, look, trust me. Listen to what I'm telling you, will you? I'm doing it for your own good. Then he says, here's what he tells them. Let love and faithfulness never leave. Never leave you. Bind them around your neck. The only conclusion I came from that was that they didn't have pockets then, because you put it in your pocket now, you remember. He didn't want to take any chance. Remember this for good. Don't lose it. Keep it. In fact, what I'd like you to do is write it on a tablet of your heart. Who does that now for us, now that Jesus came? The Holy Spirit. That's the foundation for what Solomon was going to build on. What he was going to build on at that point, he says, and I'll tell you what, if you do that, you're going to please me, God. You're going to please God. And you're going to win favor. You're going to win a good name in the sight of God and man. What do we hear? What's the old saying? Preach the gospel and, if necessary, use words. Moving on, we're going to now focus on Proverbs 5 and 6. But I wanted to give you an idea of what kind of foundation Saul had. The word trust is in Psalms no less than 39 times. Kind of a big topic for David. So David's hearing it, Solomon's hearing it from David, and he's in turn hearing it from the Lord, because he had just spoken to the Lord, "What do you want?" And he's asked for wisdom. In fact, David in Psalm 37:4 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." The reason I bring that up now is because how does Proverbs 3:5 open up? Trust in the Lord. Sound familiar? With all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, and 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path and make your path straight, depending upon which translation you have. I like King James because it says you will direct your path. I like people to direct me I'll tell you why I like it. Anybody know what that is? Who said a small TV? No, it's a GPS. And I got to tell you a story about a GPS. This is the idea of he will direct your path and trusting. Ellie and I went on a vacation just about a year ago. We went out west. We saw Grand Canyon. We came up Yosemite. We went with my brother and sister. Anyway, we went our separate paths when we got to Wyoming. By now, I am thoroughly convinced that I am fully versed on every road in the west of the Mississippi. We get to a place called Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and what happens? I said, okay, we have to get to Casper. I said, no problem. I've looked at the map. I can handle it. No problem. We get in the car. She hooked up the EPS, and I took it as a personal insult. At that point, we start out, and all of a sudden, the GPS is still on, and I hear, in 1/4 mile, make a right. Straight. 3/8 of a mile, make a left. Straight. The third one, she said, listen, Bobo. You're going to make a right or you're going to get lost. Straight. What was supposed to be a 4-hour trip, because I didn't trust the direction she was giving, became an 8-hour expedition. What's the point of it? The point is simple. God gave me, I'm stretching this, this was a vehicle to trust. It isn't always God coming down and saying, Mike, not like the Bill Cosby thing, Mike, God, yeah, right. No, it's not that. He gives us guidance to correlate it with this. Here I was getting guidance, and I chose to do it my way. So, having stretched that out and understood what that was all about the need to trust, I figured, well, I'm going to get some additional insight. So I found these quotes, and bear with me as I cite them. Corrie ten Boom wrote, Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Mother Teresa wrote, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Here's another one. This person didn't take any credit for it, but I think he was talking about me. He said, I'm serious, so I laugh. You don't trust anyone who doesn't laugh. And I thought to myself, God does have a sense of humor. Because what happens is, you know, he created me. The other thing is this, and I'm not being political, please bear with me. But if you took a bill out of your pocket, currency, it says on it, in God we trust. In God we trust. The cornerstone of this nation. And I pray that that is the case. Needing more insight, I decided to go to somebody who keeps things simple, somebody who keeps things plain. So I went to our 9-year-old grandson. Kids keep things. You ever notice kids don't have a filter? Here it is. So I went to my grandson and I said, what's trust mean to you? Ryan, he said, with pure simplicity and candor, he says it really means you can count on somebody. Then he looked at me and he said, you know, I'll tell you what. You know who I really trust? He said, I trust my mom, love relationship, my dad, love relationship, pop-pop and mom, that's his maternal grandparents, and you, and Mimi, that's who I trust. And I kind of looked at him, he said, because you love me. And I kind of tied that back to what Ella Rose said, he loves me. What else is there? This is the God of the universe who loves this schnook. He loves me. So, and he trusts me. It's a lot more fun being a trustee than a truster. Parents, and you raised your hand. You know what it feels like when a kid just reaches out to you and you know that they trust you. Parents, you know what that means. He's our father. We're part of his family. There's some common threads that we're going to see in 5 and 6. One common thread is relationship, and we just addressed that. Another common thing is the term decision or choice. I decide to trust. It is a step. The last thing is once I trust, I then submit. So as we're talking, just kind of keep those three terms in mind. The thing I like, again, about this whole thing is that when Solomon presents it, God uses Solomon to present it. The idea is to tell us, trust, will you, for your own good. I'm trying to save you some grief. Just trust. Now, he gave us minds and he gave us a free will. So he wants us to use them. He wants us to use them wisely. Why? To do his will. Now, I'll give you an illustration. You all heard the story about the guy in the flood. You want to hear it one more time? However you want to, Mike. That's okay. It's part of the thing, isn't it? Yeah. He's in the flood, just a synopsis. He's in the flood. The water rises up to the second floor. Rescue boats come by, and he says, I'm okay. I trust. I trust God to get me out of this. Rises up higher, rises over the second floor. He's on the roof. Helicopter comes by and says, hey, come on. Now I'm trusting God, no problem. He drowns. He goes to heaven and he says to God, you know, God, I'm a little disappointed in you. He said, I thought you were going to save me. I trusted you. He said, what do you think the boat and the helicopter were for? The point is that he gave us a brain to use. He gave us a mind to use. And what he said was, it's you to be used to comply with my will. I'll read you Isaiah 26:3. It says, he says, and you will keep in perfect peace, meaning the Lord will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, mind, because he trusts you. You know, so many times we're reluctant to trust. I know that so many times, I'll do it. It's up to me. I trust my, who did you trust? It's funny. I asked an adult this question just 2 days ago. I said, who do you trust most in your life? Me, of course. He wasn't pointing at me. He was pointing at himself. We trust ourselves more than we trust him. Yet this is the God of the universe, the all-wise, all-knowing God. So there are two things to think about here. One, there's this basic trust. Do you trust your finances? Do you trust your wealth? Do you trust your car repairman? I trust my doc. I trust my business associate. I trust my teenager when I throw him the keys to the car. The question is how much. I remember how I used to throw the keys. Wouldn't get them out because it was limited trust. It comes in degrees. We're reluctant to trust in some cases. But what we're doing is we're trusting God to guide our decisions. Then the other thing is, and I want to dwell on this just a bit, there's a thing called heart-based trust. No reluctance. The little kid. There he is. No question about it. He has trust. Friends, family, God, we trust him. There's a little boy by the name of Logan. His grandmother came to the first service, and she told me a story about Logan. Logan's a year old, and they have a video of him. He saw his mom. He was on a step, and you know what Logan did? He dove right at her. It doesn't take a... He's not cogitating on this. He's not meditating and saying, oh, can I trust her? Geez, I don't know. She's pretty high up. It's 6 feet two. She can only catch me from 6 feet five, eight before. No, he goes, boom. And he knows in his heart, because it is a love, respect relationship. My mom's got me. And yet I am over 60 years old. And many times I don't say, my God's got me. That frustrates me. Because above all things, that's complete love. And you know what? We can trust him. We got to remember, God is trustworthy. Self is not trustworthy because I can be a dope. The other thing that I struggle with is half-hearted trust. Half-hearted trust is when, all right, God, I trust you. I'll take it from here. How many? No, I don't want to raise hands on this one. How many people ever did that? No, don't tell me. You see these gray hairs? They're the times I either half trusted or no trusted. But what we have to do is James reminds us, don't be double minded. In that verse, it also says, don't rely on your own understanding. For me, that's rather self evident. But the Lord reminds us in Luke 5, 1-10. The Lord sees the guys coming in, and he says, okay, you done fishing? They said, yeah, man, tough night, Lord. You know what I mean? We're out there. This is the right time to go. Nothing. Lord said, go out again. And basically what he was saying, trust me. They went, master. And they went, okay. Now, I would have still been debating with the Lord. They go out, and what happens? The yield is because we followed his direction. Because they trusted him. They understood that he was master, Lord, and king, and he loved them. That's the relationship. They made a choice, they made a decision, and then he did it. Here's the situation to remember that I have to remember. I'm talking to me now. I have to remember to do that on a daily basis, not just when I need him. Lord, I haven't spoken to you, I haven't thought about you for 14 days, but you know what? Lucky 15's mine. I'm going to talk to you today because I got some deep stuff. My little kid's sick and I need your help. What happened to the other 14 days? That's one of the things, not just when I need him, do I trust him? I got to trust him all the time in all my ways. And how do I trust him best? How do I show that I trust him? It's when I reflect him. Submission and obedience is a way of acknowledging him. Another thing, while I'm on trust. How do you show trust? What you do is you talk to him and you listen to him. And you do what he says. The next step in this process... Oh, I know one other thing I wanted to talk about. Trusting is loving. We've reached that point. Loving is trusting. The more you love, the more you trust. The corollary continues. The more you love, the more you trust. The more you trust, the more you love. The more you love, the more you trust. More is better. The more I love him, the more I trust him. The more I trust him, the more I love him. You know what? He likes that. He's ultimate love. And again, my thickness is I can't remember that. The other thing is this. We talked about acknowledge. We trust on a daily basis. Now let's talk about acknowledge. We were just at a wedding, and the DJ, and he now gets to the point in the reception. He said, now, for the first time, introducing. Well, we all knew them. That's why we were here. That's my mind saying, but why? They acknowledged, they recognized the fact that that was the situation. We acknowledged him. But with God, we trust in all our ways. We acknowledge him. We don't lean on our own understanding. But now we're at the point where we say, acknowledge him what? In all of our ways. What do we acknowledge? God the Father? He's our Abba. He's our daddy. Romans 8:15, I think it is. Call him Abba. There's a difference between being a father and a daddy. He's our Abba. Why are we recognize the Son? Because Father God sent Son Jesus. What? He sent him to save us. He sent him to go to the cross, die, and save us. There's a relationship, and that's an acknowledgement. You're our Savior. Jesus says, you can call me friend. He sends the Holy Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit's role? It's to be with me forever. The Holy Spirit lives inside. There I go again. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. He's with me forever to provide counsel. And you know what? I can go to him on a daily basis. Why not acknowledge him? You know what? He's the one we should acknowledge first. Anybody ever hear of Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Life? The first sentence in that book is, it's not about you. For someone who's egocentric like I am, it is very difficult to admit that sometimes I think I can do it. I can handle it. I'm acknowledging him. Forget about me. Why do I acknowledge him? Because of the things I mentioned earlier. He's Abba. He's Savior. He's Counselor. And again, not just when I need him. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. Pray. That's a way to acknowledge him. Well, I don't have time. You understand? I mean, I got all this stuff. And you know what? It'll be halftime soon. I'll pray halftime. Okay, Lord. Get him to kick two more field goals, please. No, it's not that. It's not pray when you need. It's you make time for him. Devotional. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 and everybody was wanted to crowd around him? What did he do? He said, hold on. And he went off to the side and he had spiritual FaceTime with his Father. One-on-one. No email. No, what's that? What's the latest thing here? I got it written down. Oh, Foursquare, texting, and all this other stuff. No, it wasn't that. It was FaceTime. No iPods, no iPods, no Peapods, nothing. He just went out there. He just went and said, Lord, I want to go, Father, I want to go face to face with you. The greatest compliment I have received since my kids were adults is when I say, hey, famous phrase they learned from me. Got a minute, Pop? You know what that does to my heart? It's like being trusted. It's the same thing. That's an acknowledgement. So when we pray, we do that. Here's the neat part about it. When we acknowledge him like that, you don't pick it up and you don't say, and it doesn't say, blind busy. 1-800-GOD, hello. Can I speak with God? How long is the wait? No, it doesn't work that way. He's there. He's anxious. He recognizes that acknowledgement. That's an expression of our love to him. You know, there is a guidebook that he provides too. If you want to know more about him and you want to acknowledge him, here's the manual. You get closer to him that way. This is about relationship. Remember what I talked about in the beginning? Relationship choice. Relationship. He's my Father. I choose to read this and I have decided that I will comply. I want to show him my love. The third point is this. And this is the one I really like. It said, and I mentioned in the King James, it says, I will direct your path. And I will read the whole verse again with the King James in mind. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. He will keep it straight. That's what the NIV says, or make straight.
When we trust and we acknowledge in all, we've established what our role is. Our role is we are a child of the Most High God, and we are deferring, we're recognizing, and we're giving it all to him. Partials don't work on any count. He can't work because the result or the net effect is when we do it, there's something good. There's a great outcome. You know what it is? He's going to direct our path. He's not going to push us. He's not going to shove us. He's not going to pull us. He's not going to get us out of the path so we don't get hurt or get bruised. What he's going to do, he's going to direct it. What do you think happens when we reject the directions? We're putting ourselves at risk, aren't we? We're saying, okay, I got the trust part. and I'm going to do that. And I got the acknowledge part, I'm going to do that. But you know what? I decided I'm going to wait. That's the wrong decision. We make a decision to follow him, follow his direction. His direction includes his time, where and when. If we ignore one, then what happens? We have a problem. He won't direct. He can't direct it because we made a decision not to. It's like this puppy. When I said, nah, our God is gentler. He doesn't get nasty like this woman. He just says, okay. But you're on your own. Joe Foch has a great, great term he uses. Oh, I want to back up just a bit. One of the things that the GPS and God have in common, that's like saying a grain of sand in Mount Everest, but one of the things that is in common on this is when we get a direction from anyone, many times we don't get the whole picture. I want you to go from here to here, then here to here, then here to here. Don't worry about the tar pit. Go over to here. No, it doesn't work that way because I can't comprehend it. I can't get it all in. So what he does is, Joe Foch uses the term, he provides gradual revelation. I like that term because I can't take more than I can chew. Give me the little bit. Daily, give me a little bit. Just a little bit. That's cool, God. And guess what? He knows how much we can take. That's really cool. Here it is. Okay, I can go from there to there. How about tomorrow? I'll tell you tomorrow. Go from here to here. That's gradual revelation. And when we don't know, Oswald Chambers uses a great term. You know what it is? Gracious uncertainty. Remember how we were saved is by grace, the grace of the Father through faith in his Son, and the Holy Spirit maintains that relationship. We don't earn heaven. We can't be that good. But we want to serve him, and that's what we have to do. That's what he wants us to do. That's what we want to do. He's going to direct our path. But here's the cool part. We already won. We know the destination. We're going to be there, for sure. It's heaven. It's with him. So if we trust and we acknowledge and we get direction, that's the key to it all. That's what the Lord is saying to Solomon, and Solomon is telling his children. When we go to the manual, God says, that's what I told Solomon, read it. Do I have a tough time understanding that? Nah, the older I get, his wisdom's touching me. I got to tell you, you don't know how much paper's left in this roll, but what you want to do is, we got to remember that. And life is so much better when we do. Trust with all. Acknowledge all. There are four keys regarding direction. Four keys to successfully following direction. Be an active listener. I got to tell you, there's a little cat card over there. Pass it on. It says, Lord, teach me to talk less. Lord, help me to talk less and listen more. An active listener with mind, body, spirit, ears, listens. There's a difference between the tympanic membrane. You know what a tympanic membrane is. I know her. She knows what a tympanic membrane is. She's a nurse. You thought she was an auto mechanic. But anyway, the tympanic membrane vibrates. And I can hear a bell ringing. I don't know what the bell's saying to me because it doesn't talk. I digest, I ingest. Married men, please raise your hand. Married women, get ready. Just give them a smirk. Ready? Petside.com. took a poll, and they said one-third of pet-owning women feel that pets are better listeners than husbands. My wife said that's absolutely true. Cheer up, men. They ain't perfect. Husbands. 18% of women think pets are better listeners. Next week, we're going to see dogs and cats in this church. The point is simple. There's a difference between active listening and passive listening. I'm, yeah, right, okay, good. And I just agreed to 3 refrigerators, 2 microwaves, and whatever. Sometimes when we talk to God, God says the answer is no. It's not right for you at this point. I trust. Sometimes God says, wait. A couple verses that I've read that apply. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord.
Another one says 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, sometimes we need Christian counselors, and praise God for that. Sometimes and God leads us to listen to those folks. Sometimes he leads us to brothers and sisters. And when he does do that, John Hester, 3 weeks ago, said something that just totally applied. He said, you know what? If it's what they tell you is it's not illegal, it's not immoral, it's not unethical, and it's biblical, you're on the right path. So if you want to know what a benchmark is when you're talking to brothers and sisters or counselors, that's it. Christian counselors, and we've got a few in here. Wonderful folks, biblically based. Do you remember the Cosby thing? I mentioned that. Anybody hear that bit recently? It's funny. Bill Cosby goes, he's talking to Noah, and he says, Noah? And Noah said, who is this? He said, it's God. And Noah went, right. And he said, I want you to build an ark. Right. What's an ark? The point is that when we as people listen to God, he makes the instructions clear. And all he wants us to do, and if they're not clear, then we have to go back to God and say, what are you talking about? We have to listen better, or we have to ask questions. It's okay to ask. The point is that Noah built the ark. He followed the direction. Another key is following the direction completely. Charles Stanley has a great saying. Charles Stanley says, once he, meaning God, directs, we decide to obey, and then we leave the consequences to him. How reassuring is that? I trust you. I'm acknowledging you're my God. I don't know what to do. I praise you and I thank you for all you've done for me. I got a family. I got grandkids. I thank you, Lord, but I'm just please direct my path. He hears that. Once we do that, we fulfill the obligation. I trusted, I've acknowledged, and now, if I do that, it's his. There's another verse out of Philippians 4 that I love that attack can be attached to this. It says, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be anxious about nothing. I know this one, man, pro on this one. I've got this one etched in my heart. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things, with thanksgiving, present your petitions, prayers and petitions to the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Pretty simple formula. Pretty simple formula. Hard to do, but a simple formula. So what we do is, why should we be anxious? We just fulfilled it all. We trusted, we acknowledged, and God's going to direct our path. I spent a lot of time in human resources, about 40 years. And my instincts are to negotiate. So, Lord, I want you to go this path. Well, Lord, how about I'll go that far, and then I'd like to go over that way a little bit. I'll tell you what, I'll trade you 2 retreats, and I'll go, you know, and I'll do, no, we don't, this is God. That's my carnal mind stepping in. I can't bargain with God. He has a direction, and if I don't follow it, it's my problem, not his problem. So the point is we surrender completely. The third thing is to persevere. One day at a time is the byword. Persevering one day at a time. Here's the thing to remember. The direction leads to destination. The destination is him. Hebrews 12, in the Bible throughout, it talks about Paul running a race. Galatians, 1 Corinthians, Timothy. In Hebrews 12, he says, run the race with perseverance. The race marked out for us. Paul's recognizing the fact that there's direction. The last key is encourage and be encouraged. In John 16:33, it says, he's encouraging us. You will have troubles. But don't sweat it, kids. I've overcome the world. So his word encourages us. The fact that God would send his son to us, that's encouragement. I got to tell you, we in the Ravish Church, we have a number of places we can go for encouragement. And for those of us who are in these, I encourage you to encourage. It's a gift. And it's a gift we've got to give away. You don't hold on to gifts, you give them away. Women's prayer, men's prayer. My 6 o'clock buddies. Any 6 o'clock buddies in here this morning? There you go. We pray. See that, ladies? Guys pray too. Here's the thing.
We just happened, by the way, another illustration of that is, we just went down to the Susan G. Komen walk. And it was one of the neatest things I ever saw when it came to encouragement. You know what happened? We're going along, and people were applauding. And there were six beautiful, bald-headed women, people who were in recovery, who were walking in front of us. And there were cheerleaders along the way, and they were cheering them. I saw Philly cops, and Ellie will tell you, I saw Philly cops get out of their cars to applaud those women. And I thought to myself, is that an encouragement? How many people do we have that are hurting that need our encouragement? But you know what? That's part of following direction. God encourages us. We've got brothers and sisters. Shouldn't we be encouraging them? So it all comes down to this, brothers and sisters. From someone who knows, who's had difficulty trusting most of his life, who would rather be a trustee than a truster, but who now knows, thank God he's given me enough of a lifetime to learn it. Trust him with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in everything. Oh, it's got, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Then you know what? He's going to lead us. And there's no question about what the direction will be. If we haven't been doing that, maybe this is a wake-up call. Maybe he used Sunday, May 23rd, and an old guy who likes to throw out phrases and quotes to remind you. You know what? Time to come home. You've been looking for answers. And they've been here all the time. Now's the time. If you feel God knocking on your heart, make another commitment. Remember the prodigals? He loves prodigals. Come on back. Come on back. If you don't know Jesus Christ, try trusting. Try it. Think about it. If you're wandering, and you're wondering, is this what it's all about? Remember that song? I'm dating myself. What's it all about, Alfie? Alfie ain't the answer. What's it all about, Jesus? What's it all about, Lord God? Sometimes it takes getting down on your knees to be lifted up. Come to him. Lord, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. No more walking in circles. No more walking down blind paths. He's there. He wants to. For both, for those of us who believe and who have to come back, you know the arms that were stretched out and nails were driven into those hands? Those arms are going like this now. For those of us who know him, he's saying, come back. Come on. You're not out of the family. I just want to help you. I want to be a daddy. I want to show you the way. Open your eyes and, more importantly, open your heart to me. For those who don't know him, can you imagine having a dad that great? Someone you can trust with everything, all the time. That option is there. Tell you what. Why don't we take a couple moments to pray now? Lord, thank you for the sweet reminders. Lord, thank you for reminding us that you are our Abba, our Father, that you loved us so much you sent your son, something I'd never do, Lord, you sent him to the cross for us because you love us so much. That love is incomprehensible, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for it. Lord, we come to you today with open hearts. We've come to you and we've asked that you fill those. Lord, I ask that you bless us all with your wisdom. Lord, I ask that you just fill those hearts. Lord, we come to you with our love, and we are trusting you, Lord, with all that we've got. And it indeed is an honor and a privilege to do that. And we do it in the name of Jesus, the most precious name of all. Amen.